Welcome to Hope Solo Speaks. All right, here we go. So I'm pretty confident in my parenting. I know my children. I have been present almost every single day for 3 years, always trying to find the best way to help Vito and Lozen explore the wonders of the world. We try to spread love. We teach kindness. We push manners. We allow them to dream, to be adventurous, to be brave. They get tired, have tantrums, and do things that I wish they wouldn't. But every damn day, we expand our children's wings. Today has been a bit of a tough day. Now, if you know me, then you know that I hate social media. Yet just today, a friend reached out to me showing me the horrific messages that have been posted. Now, I'm definitely not shocked by much, but these messages were just deplorable, hateful, disgusting, ignorant, and fucking mean. These are the kind of people in the world that I want to protect my kids from. Hate and ignorance as opposed to love, forgiveness, and kindness. Yes, we all know that I made a major mistake a year ago. God knows, my family knows, the world knows, and yes, I know too. Soon, my children will also know. So now what? Shall I live in shame my whole life? Well, I probably will. But only because I want to be the best for my family. But those who do not know me, those who practice hate over kindness, will have absolutely no effect on my parenting. When I set out to do 40 episodes for this podcast, parenting was one of the topics that I was excited to cover. And you know what? I still am. So all of you with hate and judgment who question my parenting, one, find something to do that's positive and spend less time making judgments of others, and two, we'll get a fucking soul. My passion was soccer. The past 3 years, my passion has been my family. I continue to learn. I continue to grow. And we continue to find new ways to nourish our kids' passions and dreams. I will always do my best. And like in sports, mistakes are made. They make us better, stronger, and kinder human beings. If you don't like my honesty or my lack of concern about your opinion, then perhaps you can hear it from somebody else who doesn't sugarcoat things. A man, not a woman, if that's your cup of tea to take advice from. A well-known author of 7 books, somebody who shoots it straight. He has been a sports writer for over 40 years. He votes on the Professional Football Hall of Fame selection. And he has seen the greatest of athletes fall from pressure, from family, from overparenting. When it comes to gently guiding our children to fulfill their own dreams, we must at times stay out of the fucking way. So with us here today to tell it how it is author of Shut Up, Your Kid Is Not That Great, Jason Cole. Jason, thank you so much for coming on Hope Solo Speaks. It's an absolute honor.
Likewise, even more so for me. So thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate it.
I'm very excited. Obviously, my producer knew that I would be intrigued with your new book that has already come out. So I'm very glad that Andrew was able to connect us. Just for the listeners out there, you've been in the industry, in the sports industry for over 30 some years, right?
I'd say almost 40. So yeah.
Amazing. So you're in the know, especially when it comes to football, NFL writer. I believe you voted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I am currently, and I have been for the last decade, a Hall of Fame.
Amazing. So you are in the know. This is your seventh book that you have written. You wrote a book, a biography of John Elway, and then you decided to write this seventh book. It's called Shut Up, Your Kid is Not That Great. And just the title itself really intrigued me. And then I started to read it. Of course, I didn't get that far. But here are some of the chapters, just so people can get a sense of it. Chapter 25. By the way, shut up. I know my kid is not going pro in soccer. Chapter 32. Shut up. Your kid is probably not going to infinity and beyond.
Yeah, probably not.
That's amazing. Chapter 45. Shut up. Your daughter is not the next Simone Biles.
And look, I know this is a harsh title, okay? It's sort of a harsh way of getting into it, but you kind of have to shake people, especially when they're parents, and I'm a parent as well, of, look, part of this is separating yourself from living your child's life, and allowing them to, you know, you nurture your children, you point them in the right direction, you help them in whatever they want. You push their passions, but you got to let them go do it at a certain point in time. And you can't set expectations and all these other things that go on with parenting, because they're your expectations. They're not your kids' expectations, right? And I think that that's really an important difference there, is let your kid determine where they want to go with something, what they want to do with it, because it may be they want to be the next Buzz Aldrin. Maybe they want to be the next Simone Biles. They want to be the next John Elway. Maybe they want, whatever it is they want to be, let them come to that decision. Maybe they want to be, you know, the next Hope Solo, which is a great thing, right? But they got to come to that decision themselves. You can't push it upon them. And so shut up, like, you know, back off a little bit. And let them go do it. So this is a harsh way of doing this. And look, I've coached youth teams. I've observed athletics for 40 years as a sports writer. I've seen people in other lines of work, and in the entertainment industry and whatever have you. But the biggest lesson that I come away from is the parents who sort of sit there and say, okay, I'm going to help my kid be whatever it is they want to be, tend to have the most success. The ones who push them to be what they want them to be have the least success, in my view, even when they have incredibly talented kids.
Well, that was one way to introduce you, you know, by reading the names of some of your chapters, because it is kind of cutting, you know, it's very, shut up, back off parenting, you know, let your kids make decisions for themselves. But it's designed also to be humorous. And so I think once you start reading it, you know, people can see that. But I think the message is actually very basic. And that's what really, made me kind of sit back and think about the way I want to style when it comes to parenting. I have 3-year-old twins. So I'm right now getting into the stage where they are they only had each other. They didn't need friends. They finally met one friend and that's all they talk about. And they want to go see Bela. They want to go next door. They want to call her. They want to FaceTime her. And so now we're at this stage where, how do you manage, you know, all their interests? You know, they just used to love just running around the forest on our property and playing on their tractors. But now they're starting to want to do other things. We put them in soccer. They had no desire whatsoever to run around the field. But the message of your book is, what I found was that you got to think about the people around your child, especially when it comes to entertainment and sports. It's not just about your kid. And that's what I thought was really fascinating. So I really took a hard look at the way my mom and my parents and my grandparents raised me. And they really gave me a lot of freedom. And it allowed me to find my passion myself. My mom wasn't at every soccer game every weekend. She's like, you know what, Hope? I'm going boating with your stepfather and we're going to the cabin. And it allowed me to realize that life isn't all about me, even at a, you know, a young age.
Well, and look, I think there's some importance to that. And what you just brought up reminds me of Jack Elway. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote the biography of John Elway, one of the big subjects in this was, you know, obvious his parents, both his mom and his dad, but particularly his dad, because his dad was a college, you know, NCAA Division I college coach, right? And I'm like, okay, what did he do to manage his kid's career and help him get there and all these things? And what I found out is that Jack Elway never, ever coached his kid.
Wow.
Never, I mean, never coaches any of his youth teams, never coaches little league teams. The only time that Jack Elway ever coached his son was in a Shrine Game All-Star game after his senior year of college, which is not a meaningful game. I mean, it's fun and you get a lot of great players together and you go play an All-Star game, right, for charity. It's not serious, right? Nobody really keeps track of the score, okay? His intention was twofold. A, he had his life of his own that he had to go, and he had to go make money and support the family and do all these things that were important as a father, as a husband. And I think the other thing is he didn't want to interfere with the relationship you have between parent and child, because it's a different relationship between being a parent and your child and a coach and your child. Your coach sometimes has to tell you tough things, even, you know, when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years, like, okay, you don't get to go do this all the time. You know, you have to go and you have to do this because you're part of the team. Okay. And this is your function within the team, whatever it happens to be, or you're not ready to do this yet. Okay. If it's in gymnastics, or you're not ready to sting this, if it, you know, like that coach has to do that for you. And when it's a parent, like that sometimes gets in the way. Like, parents want to love their kids and let them do whatever it is that they want to do. So Jack Elway didn't get in the way of that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it. Okay. Certainly Tom Brady's dad, Tom Brady Sr., who I know well and did the introduction for this book, did coach his kids, coached the three older daughters, coached, you know, Tom. But the one thing I loved about the introduction is, when Tom was the only good player on his, like, parochial school basketball team, or one of the only two good players, the answer wasn't to take him off that team and take him to a better school, right, and get with better players so that he could look better. And, you know, it was to make the other kids who weren't as good better by getting them to play a lot, all right, and to make his kid understand you got to take care of the people around you, because you've got this little community of people. So I love that part of it. I love, you know, Tom Brady Sr.'s approach. I love Jack Elway's approach. And if you're going to parent, yeah, it's hard to figure out which one's the right one, okay? Which one is the most important one? I mean, I will also say for Jack didn't go to all of his son. Jack Elway didn't go to all John Elway's games because he was coaching himself, right? And when he did go, he made sure to never talk to the coaches. He just didn't want, he wasn't down there telling him, I'll run this play or do this, do that, you know, all this other stuff. He's like, look, they coach my kid. I stay out of the way.
So after all these sports books, what made you decide to do this type of book about parenting?
Well, number one, this is definitely my voice and I'm sarcastic. Okay. I am nothing if not blunt. Okay. So the title is, I own that title. That's that's me. But look, I've coached and I've watched, and I was sitting there talking with my agent, who also happens to be the publisher on this one. And we're saying, you know, there's this, he's at a stage where he's coaching his kids in youth basketball, and his kids aren't very good, but he's just trying to get them out there, learn how to play a little basketball, learn how to play in a team, get along, you know, all the little things that sports is supposed to do when you're at the youth level, right? He just wants that. And he's getting the interference from parents. He's hearing it from parents. And he's like, people just shut up. And I was like, yeah, shut up. And your kid's not that great. You know, like, you know, in if it's fourth grade basketball, don't argue about the playoff system.
Goodness.
Don't argue about, like, you know, is it balanced and fair for every team? Just go play games. Just go games and make it fun.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you about this. The culture differences. You know, we talk about, right now we're talking about, in your book, you talk about letting the child decide their interests, their passions, not pushing them too much. You know, you take Chinese culture and, you know, they're pushing their kids in the direction they want to go because there's a thought process that the thought process is that the kid's too young to decide. How are they going to know what they fall in love with unless they really try something and give it their best effort? And a lot of times that takes the parent to push them in that right direction, in that particular direction, and not letting them quit too early. So there's all these different parenting beliefs. I wonder if this is more of a I don't know if it's culture differences. But I guess in America, we also have overbearing helicopter parents as well.
The first story in this one you might have seen was the overpass parent, which I liked, which was the story of Dan Henson, whose son Drew was a phenomenal athlete in both and was drafted in both at the NFL and Major League Baseball. And there's this funny story about Dan Henson, who really did kind of micromanage his son's career. And as talented as Drew was, and a lot of people thought he was going to be the next John Elway, okay? And he had that kind of physical skill. His dad was too present. Like, he would be at Michigan football practices, like observing practice, to the point where the Michigan coach at the time said, like, you can't be here every day. That's not what this is for, right? And so instead, and people in Michigan who know about the Michigan program back then might remember this, but it was an open field where the practice field was, and there was an overpass that went there, and he would go park on the overpass and he would watch practice from the overpass when he couldn't be on the field anymore. And it was just stupid. And it belittled Drew in front of his teammates. It made him in a sense a child in front of them, where why does your old man have to be here every day? Aren't you your own person, right? Look, I get it. There's always this tricky balance between, do you direct your kid into something that you think they might be good at, that they might really like, and, you know, or do you just let them play it out and let their passions go? And that really comes down to, who is your kid? Is your kid innately interested and curious about doing things, or are they shy and not willing to do things and they've got to be pushed a little bit out there? Yeah, I mean, you know your kid, and this is not a one size fits all on how to parent. I'm not qualified to do that. Okay. But I'm saying, once you establish what are they like, what are they good at, and then you determine, okay, they really seem to like this, whether it's playing piano or whether it's kicking a soccer ball. You know, whatever it happens to be, okay, once they figure out, like, they're eager, they're enthusiastic, they want to go do this, okay, keep doing it, okay? Let them keep chasing that and feed that for them, but make it theirs. Let them do it themselves and stay, you know, and keep a distance from it is what I would always advise people. Keep a healthy distance of, look, I'm going to get you to practice, but you're there for practice. And of course, yes, you monitor the situation, like, who are the people who are coaching your kids? What are their qualifications? What's going on? You know, don't, you know, like, there's all those things that happen.
From a distance.
from a distance.
Because what I can tell you, most of my friends are now coaches at every different level, in colleges and clubs, on U.S. scouts, ODP teams. Mm-hmm. So they're all over the place. They've seen it all. The number one complaint I hear, of course, is parents, to the point where one of my good friends put restrictions on parents coming to practices. They're not allowed to talk to the coach at all. So they really, they're trying, you know, she's trying to allow the kids to approach her if they have any questions about playing time or anything like that, but no parents whatsoever. I had another wonderful, well-known coach, highly respected, who simply doesn't want to coach anymore because of how pandered kids are this day and age when they come into college with their own expectations, with parents getting involved, with it's just coaching, I believe, has just changed so much from decade to decade. I think with the, you know, being able to take mental health breaks for athletes and coaches not knowing how hard to push athletes anymore. I mean, it is very tough space, I think, to be in right now as a coach. Jeremy, my husband, he played in the NFL for close to 10 years. He was a first round draft pick for the Seahawks.
I was there. I watched.
His father was his coach and he hated every bit of it. He was the coach's son and he hated it. His coach, however, did coach volleyball and basketball. I don't believe he was a football coach, but Jeremy did play basketball for him and he hated it. But his dad also made him wear boots as like a 2 and 3 year old boy. And my son wears boots now, but he wore boots to help his arches so that he'd be more powerful and quick and have better balance. That is what Jeremy's dad did. And Jeremy is grateful for it. And now here my kid is running around the property in boots, but that's because of the snakes on the property.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, yeah, very different parenting.
Yeah. There are always valuable little things that you pick up that you might not like. And I get that. I would say, there's a couple of things that go on with sports today that didn't happen 20 and 30 years ago. And that's the business of sports. There's a lot on the line now, you know, whether it's a scholarship that parents are seeking to try and get their kid to school, whether it's, you know, a profession where you can make a lot of money. And sometimes a lot of money is, you know, a couple hundred thousand bucks. Sometimes a lot of money is tens of millions of dollars, right? Or hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. That's changed the outlook of parents, right? When they have a kid who might be really talented.
Yeah.
But I always go back to this, and again, it's a Jack Elway thing. When John Elway was in college and he had been drafted by the New York Yankees in the second round and signed a contract to play minor league baseball for the Yankees, right? And he was about to be the number one overall draft pick in the 1980 draft, right? This historic draft. We didn't know it was historic at the time, but we found out later, right? I mean, we're talking about one of the most dominant athletes in the history of America, right? And Jack would sit back there and go, he's not going to find his passion. And I'm sort of, you know, butchering this quote, but he's not going to find his passion in dollars. He's going to find his passion in what he wants to play and what he loves. And so, again, I think Jack Elway is a master of understanding, push your kid toward the thing that they love to do most, right? What are they? And you've got to figure that out. You know, for my oldest kid, it was science, right? For my younger son, it was rowing and he loved it, right? And you know, they're just very different, but they chase those passions. And I remember distinctly with my older son, where, you know, his grades were good, but they weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, even though he was, and I'm going to do this, the thing, you know, one of the better science students at his school. Right. And he got like a B+ here from his physics teacher. And he's like, well, you know, I got the number one score in the class. I said, so I had to get a B+. He goes, well, I didn't do some of the homework and this and that. I said, well, yeah, that's on you. But if you have the highest grade in the class, it sounds like you deserve an A. The homework wasn't really that relevant for you. You should go talk to your teacher about it. And he's like, well, and I said, no, you should go talk to your teacher. But it was on him to do that. I gave him the idea. Okay. Yeah. And he didn't do it. And, you know, months later afterwards, he regretted not doing it, but he's the one who had to do it. I can't go fight for him. He's got to learn to go fight for himself on this one. And so it was a lesson for him of not doing something, not taking something on. And I think it served him well in the long term to learn you need to at some point fight for yourself.
You know, it reminds me of the soccer moms and dads who come up to me with their kids in tow and say, oh, my daughter's the biggest Hope Solo fan. Can she get a picture with you? And I'm like, let her ask me. If she's the biggest fan, let me talk to her. You know, let me, but they do all, some of the parents do all the talking. It just kind of reminds me of that. You know, I really do appreciate when fans come up to me, when kids come up to me, and then I have a great conversation. But oftentimes the parents do all the talking, and then I don't get to touch upon that child in that moment.
And it's an interesting one that you bring up, is like sometimes kids will be really shy about doing that, and I get that. And so these moments, you know, with my younger son, and we met Peyton Manning one time, right? We went out to Denver practice one time, and he was like, and Peyton's his favorite player of all time.
He didn't say a word, did he?
he's like, you know, he's about 13 at the time. And I said, no, here, I'll introduce you. But I'm introducing him to say, you talk to him, okay? So you have to, you know, like sometimes you do have to bridge that gap for your kid, but let them at some point do the talking. Let them at some point bridge that gap. Like, what do they want? Do they want a picture? Do they want, you know, like, and then they end up feeling a little bit more confident about themselves. Not you do all the work. It's like the parent who does the homework for the kid. The kid didn't learn. Okay. They didn't, you know, and they might not be very good at algebra. Okay. And that's all right. But
that is
okay. And it's okay to not be good in algebra. Okay. It really is okay. But you have to know what it is so that you understand what is the purpose of algebra. That is the more important question.
Of course. So you don't really believe that these kids can't grow up to be the next Simone Biles or Hope Solo or
obviously
be an astronaut and Buzz Aldrin. And
I know that, and that's the downside of this title is like I'm knocking every kid, and I get that, right? I do, and that's not my intention, but we didn't have a better title, right?
Certainly. Oh, no, I love it. It's what hooked me. It's what, you know, drew me in was the title. I love the sarcasm. I love kind of that in your face asshole title. But then you get to learn from the book. So I actually think it's fabulous and it's great because I'm not sure I would have read it if it was like Parenting 101, How to Inspire Your Child.
Yeah, when I read three or four of those books when I was raising my kid, and I'm sure you've read a few yourself and trying to figure it out. Right. This is more a slap to the face, right? And that's how I am. No, there are the next Simone Biles. There are the next Hope Solos. There are the next John Elways and the next Patrick Mahomes. They're out there, right? But there is a way to get there for them that is not manipulated by your parent, okay? They have to want to do that. Like when you watch someone play or you watch someone sing, right? You know, like one of my favorite singers is this jazz singer named Jane Monheit. And Jane is absolutely fabulous. Monheit, right? And there are recordings from her first album of her singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow when she's like 5 years old. Okay. And you can tell from when she was a kid, not only was she talented, but she liked it. Like she got the right inflection. She was portraying the emotion of what that song is supposed to be about, right? And her parents, however they did, I don't know, because I've gone to see her, but I've been far too intimidated to actually talk to her. Is somewhere along the line, her parents fed her passion to go sing. And they probably played a lot of old jazz albums for her, like Sarah Vaughan and Carmen McRae and all these women who, like, you can just feel it in their singing, right? Like they're portraying emotion that is deep and it is personal and it is true, right? And she's able to capture some of that, and she's able to take her own experiences and put them out in her music in a way that is incredibly soulful, right? And reinterpretive, and sort of like, you know, Sinatra was a great interpretive singer, right? Whatever you do, feed that, do that, make that happen for them. And they might become the next Jane Monheit. They might become the next Sarah Vaughan. They might become this. But there's a difference between allowing them the space to become that and feeding the joy and the passion that goes with it, and a difference and a, I want this for my kid. Yeah. Does your kid want that for themselves? You don't know, because if they don't really want it, they're not going to love it. And they better love it, because, and you know, as an athlete, there's a lot of pain that goes into being as great as you were. Jeremy knows it. There's a lot. I mean, playing in the NFL is not a pleasant experience on a day in and day out basis, right? So you have to love it in order to be good at it, right? To have any hope of being successful at it, you better love to put up with that. If you want to be a great artist, there's going to be a lot of rejection. You know, shockingly, not everybody loves my writing. I've discovered this over the years, right? But I keep plugging along going, okay, this is how I write. Okay. And if you don't like it, it's okay. You don't have to read it. You may not agree with me. You may not like my opinion. Okay. I'm fine with that. There are enough other people who will. And that's sort of where this book comes from. And my experiences watching parents, my experience as a coach, my experience talking to executives in other businesses. And my advice is just shut up, let your kid do it. And if they love it, keep letting them do it. Even if really they're not very good at it, if they're not a great soccer player, they will get something out of the experience of playing soccer that will apply to whatever their life becomes later on.
I think about all of the times that coaches or parents or somebody in a particular industry predicts the next greatest athlete, greatest soccer player. They put them on Sports Illustrated before they really do something big, like, I don't know, playing an Olympics or World Cup or I don't know. But you look at, like, even in the soccer world, you know, Freddie Adu. I've had many teammates who are supposed to be the next Mia Hamm, the next greatest soccer player to come out of our country. And talent doesn't always take you there. And so I think it's a great way of saying, just shut the fuck up, everybody, because even if they're talented, that means nothing at the end of the day. And you said it yourself, it takes a grind, you know, you're grinding day in and day out. Obviously, you have to have the passion. That's the fun aspect of it. But it comes with hard work, and it comes with a mental capacity of being able to stay focused and take those proper steps every year, every day, every week. So some people just don't have that mental toughness to actually make it at the highest level. And so I've seen it time and time again. All these predictions are made. The next greatest athlete in this particular sport. And I would say one out of 10 may actually.
You bring up again. Drew Henson.
All right, come back. Yeah, there you go.
Drew Henson. On Tom Brady's, I think, 21st birthday, the cover of Sports Illustrated. Then Tom Brady is now a junior at Michigan. So he's either 20 or 21. I can't remember. But on that exact day, someday in, I think, August or September, they're getting ready for spring practice. The cover of Sports Illustrated is about Drew Henson, the next big thing at Michigan football, right? And how Drew Henson's going to here and take over back. Nobody knows who that Brady kid is. You know,
done is played in high school. Great player in high school.
And look, again, Drew Henson, and I watched Drew Henson play. That is a fabulous, fabulous athlete. No question about it. Fabulous, incredibly gifted, okay? But, you know, he was anointed by Sports Illustrated as the next big thing, just like what you're talking about, like Freddie Adu and like so many others that we've had come along in so many different sports, right? Well, he gets to Michigan, and unfortunately, I think in part because his dad always put him in the best places and the best situations and was fighting for playing time for him before he even got there. Like, the kid backed out on going to Florida State because Florida State recruited another quarterback in the meantime, right? And it was like, oh, well, he might not get the playing time right away. How about go fight for it? You know, go battle for it. Go see whether it's worth it. Well, after all that, all those machinations, Drew Henson ends up, again, getting drafted by the Yankees. He goes and he plays in AAA, I think it's either AA or AAA, in Columbus, Ohio. Well, Columbus, Ohio is the home of Ohio State. So he's playing his home games in Columbus, Ohio, where after he had already gone in as the Michigan quarterback and beaten Ohio State. So the home fans in Columbus, Ohio, and one of my friends is a guy named Albert Breer, who's a sports writer with Sports Illustrated now, right? He said, oh, yeah, we used to go day drink and go to the Columbus games and go boo Henson because we hated Henson, right? So Henson, later, years later, complained about the fact that he was getting booed at his home games, okay? Well, he was playing in Ohio State, you know? They didn't like him for football, right? He's a minor league baseball player. And my thought was, he didn't have the mental toughness to say, oh yeah, they hate me because I'm the Michigan quarterback. So what? Okay. And he didn't have the ability in that to get through it, because you're going to get booed. Yeah. Okay. That's part of how this works. And you know it better than I do. You're going to get booed somewhere along the line because people don't like you. And how are you going to take that booing? Are you going to take it as fuel to say, watch me now, right? Watch what I do to you now, okay? Or are you going to take it personally, okay? And get knocked down by it. And you got to figure your way through that. And I'm not a psychologist, but part of me would speculate that Drew Henson was not made to be mentally tough enough to handle that situation. And it's one of the things he didn't like, because a lot of stuff was given to him along the way, or a lot of things were set up for him along the way, rather than, no, go do it. You got to go do it on your own. I drove you to practice. I got you the new cleats. I got you, you know, the best baseball bat you can have. I got, you know, whatever we could afford. I took care. I got you to a good coach. You know, we're watching, making sure. But you have to do it, and you have to want to do it. And I can't, as a parent, I can't replace that. Just like I couldn't go to my son's physics teacher and I couldn't fight for his grade. Okay, my kid had to do that or not do that.
Yeah, talent is never enough. Talent only, anyhow. You know, what's astonishing to me, and we're still dealing with this, is that my husband, Jeremy, doesn't want our kids to play sports. Long-term, doesn't want them to be any type of professional athlete. He wants to push them towards, you know, science. And right now our kids, they're really into infinity and beyond. They love Buzz Lightyear, and they have all the planets hanging from their ceiling, and they ask me almost every day, Mama, you going to come to Mars with me? And I was like, you do the hard work, buddy. I'll go with you. Right. But they know it's going to take a lot of hard work. So that's kind of how I'm, I don't know, addressing it, their desires right now. Yes, you can go see a planet or go to the moon, but it's going to take a lot of hard work, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is. There's nothing that replaces hard work, that replaces desire to do that hard work and the desire to deal with the failure along the way. The booing, the failure, the pain that goes with it. Just like there's, you know, like you know, when you're sitting there trying to solve equations or learn how to write. I mean, there's nothing as painful as rewriting something for the third or fourth or fifth time. Because it just doesn't feel right when you're writing it, okay? And you're not getting your message across. And it's frustrating as hell to do that. But if you're unwilling to do that, then you are not going to be as great as you can become. And then, therefore, you're not going to become the next Simone Biles or the next, again, Hope Solo or whatever your hero happens to be if you're not willing to do that work. But that has to come internally. Yeah, it can't come from a chase of money. It can't come from somebody else telling you you got to do it.
So you have parents that can push a child in one direction. And then, like my husband, he's going to try to keep him out of sports, which I have an inkling that you want to do it even more.
You and Jeremy got to settle that one. Okay. I mean, look,
but that is similar. That it's similar. Yeah. You know, you can push your child into something, but you can also try to keep them out of something, which I think goes hand in hand with not allowing them to find their own passions and their own, you know, path in life.
Yeah. I mean, I think you try, look, the key is try as much as you can with your kids, you know, have limitations on, you know, time and space and energy and all those kinds of things and what's available to our children. But you try as many things, and then you find what sparks. You know, like, again, my oldest liked reading when he was really young, and he liked having stories read to him. I cannot tell you the number of times I fell asleep reading Hardy Boys at night. You know, and then he was like 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and he would hit me in the chest to wake me up to keep reading. Right? Oh. He was really into having either something read to him or then eventually reading. So he took the academic path. My youngest, you know, eventually fell in love with working out and running and pushing himself into rowing. Okay. And, you know, ended up being a college rower and, you know, pretty successful for being, you know, 5'10" and, you know, not the biggest guy in the world, in a sport where, you know, it's about levers and leverage and all that kind of stuff. Right. But he did well for himself. Right. But he chased it. I made sure that the food was cooked. Like I was the dad working the grill, making sure breakfast and lunch were ready and that all the kids were fed and that they were happy and that, you know, we had a pizza party or we brought donuts, you know, so that it was fun when it needed to be fun. Okay. It was work for them and passionate work when they needed to be passionate. And it was fun when they needed it to be fun. Or at least I tried to be that parent.
Jason, I am going to buy this particular book. Shut up. Your kid is not that great. For a lot of my close friends, to be quite honest, and a lot of my... Right, yeah, right. There it is, right there. That's the cover.
There you go.
So when did that come out and where can we find it?
You can find it on Amazon. So just go to amazon.com and you'll find it there. It came out on the 11th. So okay. It's only been 2 days. So you're...
Only 2 days. Well, great. I'm on it. This is my next Christmas gift or birthday presents for my friends, especially my coaching friends and those with kids.
Yeah, you can tell your coaching friends to tell their... I'll tell you... One of the things that I used to do when I coached Little League is we would have the parent meeting before the season started. And I would look at the parents and I'd say, you know, I would tell them, you know, please come and cheer as loud as you can, you know, do what you're going to do. But like one of the rules was when it comes to talking to the umpires, I do that.
Yeah.
Right. That's how we run it.
Well, I did like what you said in the book about how your kids are conditioned to hear your voice. So even when you're cheering for them or saying some during a ball game, they're going to hear you. My grandma.
It's an absolute truism is you will, the kid will respond to mom or dad, in the background yelling something. And I remember one time distinctly, I taught a kid at a certain routine. They were supposed to not tag. You don't tag up from first base to go to second. You know, you go halfway in case the outfielder drops the fly ball, right? And then you go to second, right? Because you get trapped in between if you don't do it right. And the dad said to his son,
"Go back.
You
know,
no. Why didn't you tag up and go to second?" And I just looked at the dad, and there was probably 30 parents in the stands. And I said, "That's not what we teach." And the dad was like, and my message to him afterwards is, if you want to come to practice and learn what we do, you're welcome to come to practice and learn what we do so you can tell your kid what we're being taught. And if you want to talk to me about how to do it, because there's another thing. I was right there at the advent of personal coaches, you know, which happens a lot now, right? Everybody's got their own personal hitting coach or fielding coach or they're this or they're that. And it's like that to me, that's dangerous because now you got two different voices, right? You got two different people telling your kid how to play. And that's you want consistency. And to me, as a coach, it would be up to me to say, okay, I want to hear what the other coach has to say so that we as coaches can be on the same page as much as humanly possible to make sure this kid is doing what he needs to do to be successful in games, right? But that's complicated, right? And so, you know, like, how do you want to do this? You know, are you, you know, if you're a parent, I know you want the best for your kid, but think it through about how it actually works and what goes on. What is the coach actually teaching them? And again, I've had that one story that's in the book. You'll get to read it, where I had a parent come on the field one time in the middle of the game. And he actually had a reasonable question, right? As it turned out. But I was like, you can't come on the field in the middle of the game because I can't have the rest of the parents doing this, right? So I just looked at him and said, Jack, get off the field. And he was like, well, but I go, Jack, get off the field now. Okay. And you want to come to me and you want to talk to me, do it some other way. You don't do it in the middle of the game where now, it's total disruption. Who's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's going to undermine your kid's ability to be coached by anybody if you do that. Right. And it's going to make you the interfering parent who the coaches don't want to deal with. Right. So, yeah, like there are these moments like that, you know, that happen. And I understand as a parent, you know, I've been there. I've wanted to go look at the coach and say, what the hell are you doing? But I don't. Because that wasn't my place and that wasn't my function.
Yeah. You're bringing back a lot of memories for me. I'm not even sure I want to tell the story. I'm going to tell it real quick and then I'll let you go. But the one time my mom came onto the soccer field. Oh, goodness. But, you know, I can't blame her. It was a playoff game. I was scoring like 3 goals a game. We won state, you know, 2 years in a row. So we were from the country, but we were beating up on all the city big schools teams on the other side of the mountains. I was kind of hated because I was scoring goals, you know, hated by our opponents. And so
we're good. Played. I mean, if you're hated, it means you're good.
Yeah, but we played this team, and it was not a lot of talent on this team, but they were very aggressive, and I ended up getting punched. I think the girl grabbed my ponytail, threw me down, got on top of me, started hitting me. Another girl came in. And for all of you out there in Washington, this was a Yakima school. I believe it was like Eisenhower or something. Oh, yes. And my mom, nobody was stopping it. Not the ref, not our coach, not the athletic director. They just left me on the field getting kind of beat up. And my mom came running out and had to like pull the girls off me. And the athletic director told my mom to get off the field. And she's like, I wouldn't have to be on here if you actually did something about this. So it did happen. It did happen. My mom came on the field.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a difference between your kid getting beaten up and your kid, you're questioning, you know, whether your kid has thrown too many pitches. Okay. There's a balance.
But like I said, a lot of these memories are coming to the surface now reading your book. So I just, Jason, I really want to thank you for this book. I continue to educate myself in parenting and in a number of different things in order to hopefully give my kids the best, you know, chance and opportunities in life. So I'm very grateful for this book. And like I said, I am going to order a few for presents. Shut up. Your kid is not that great. But if you see me at the moon 20 years from now, it's because my kid got me there.
And he was the next Buzz Aldrin. And
her too. She wants to go too.
She or he or either one of them. And God, I hope it happens. I really do. I cheer for that. But I just ask parents to do it and
be realistic.
Well, it's not even be real. Just like let them do it. Like just let them chase it.
And okay.
Push them, if they like it, push them that way, that's great. But let them do it. That's the way to go.
Very refreshing and very honest book. So thanks again. I really appreciate your time, Jason. And I hope this book takes off because I think a lot of people should read it.
Parents, I appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Hope.
Okay.
All
take right. care, Jason.
You too. Take care now.
Hope Solo Speaks is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
SiriusXM Podcasts.